گھر کی یادوں میں وہ کھو رہی.
السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. اہلا وسہلا ومرحبا بكم. It's exactly 5 minutes after 11 South African time. You are tuning in listening to The Bliss of Marriage Wednesday part 2 between now till 12 o'clock. My name is Arafat bin Ibrahim Hati. Of course, our beloved Fadilatul Ustad has just joined in, inshallah. Let's welcome the listeners of Sirius FM. Let's welcome the listeners of Merkaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And of course, our beloved engineer, Brother Tobela. Our WhatsApp number is 0847863132. 0847863132. International overseas listeners, plus 2784-786-3132. It's the 26th of Ramadan, 1441, which is also the 20th of May, 2020. Let's welcome our beloved Fadilatul Ustad. Ustad, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum wa rafat. Jazakallahu khairan.
Ustad, a message says here that a lady who is 27 years old, she had been speaking to a non-Muslim guy since her campus days, and they both wanted to get married. He started going to a madrasa, went from years ago to learn about Islam as he was interested in her. The question is, Ustad, she knew it wasn't right as he wasn't Muslim, so she moved on. She got engaged to a Muslim guy, but it didn't work out, and now she's back with this non-Muslim guy. She isn't dating him, the mother says, but they set on getting married by the end of this year. The boy's mother thinks that she will convert to Tamil, as the boy didn't tell his mother that he will be reverting to Islam soon. Can Muftisa please advise? Overseas, Ustad.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Obviously, she realizes that whatever she was doing is haram, and that brother there, so she must give him an ultimatum that she's cutting off all ties. And if he embraces Islam, and he must prove himself, for example, that he starts reading Salat and everything else. And thereafter, if they get married and he's Muslim, she's Muslima, then and her father or parents, whoever they agree, so then it'll be fine. But if he remains a non-Muslim, irrespective of which faith, Hinduism or whichever, Tamilism or whatever, so remember in that case, then it's absolutely haram. And Quran Sharif has mentioned this in Surah 60, Surah Mumtahina, verse 10, La It's not permissible for any Muslim lady to marry any non-Muslim male, whether he's Jew, Christian, Hindu, Tamil, whatever. And it's not permissible for them, the non-Muslim male, to marry a Muslim lady. So you, as the mother, or your husband is there, the father, or uncle, or brother, you must put your foot down and never ever allow this to happen, because every moment, remember, Allah's curse will be upon them. All the children will be harami, will be illegitimate. And if she considers it permissible, she's out of the fold of Islam totally. So you can see the consequences are very, very severe. May Almighty Allah Jalla Wala protect us.
Sister says, can my wife come to my grave after my demise, Ustad? I think the brother.
Remember that for females to go to the graveyard cemetery is not permissible. There are 3 ahadis, all in Sunan Nasai. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La anallahu zairat il kubur, La anallahu zawarat il kubur. Allah's curse is on the ladies who visit the graveyard. Second hadith, Allah Ta'ala's curse is on those ladies who visit the graveyard excessively. So that is the second one. And all in Nasai. Third one, I gave you and mentioned this incident on several occasions. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was walking in the opposite direction. Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha came and approached. Oh, my beloved daughter, where you went? She said, Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha. Do you know who Sayyida Fatima? Fatima to Sayyida to Nisai Ahlil Jannah, the leader of the women in Jannah, and the hadith is authentic in Tirmidhi Sharif. So therefore, we must remember what we are talking about here. So Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked her, she said she went there to offer condolences. Then the master Habib Nabi Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked her, you went to graveyard? She said, no. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told his beloved daughter, had you gone to graveyard, you'll end up in hellfire. Allah forbid. So to show that the women in Islam, there's no tongue like that, they must go graveyard and cemetery. They must sit at home and make dua for the deceased.
Somebody says here, Ustad, that I have been going out with a girl, say for the past 12 years, Ustad. I told my parents that I want to propose to her after Ramadan. My parents refuse, and they say that I must wait another year. I can't live a life of sin anymore, Ustad. What do I do?
You must remember, in a case like that, we don't know why your parents are procrastinating, delaying. So if you are happy, the girl is happy, she's Muslima, she belongs to the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, she's not a Shia or a Aga Khani, or she is not the Ahmadi, Qadiani, all these people are non-Muslims. So you must remember, in a case like that, then you marry her, as long as she's happy and her parents are happy, then you go ahead. And you can't be going on for 12, 13, 14 years dating, all haram, all that. So yes, get married, no problem.
Subhanallah. 084-786-3132. A listener says, Ya Ustaz, that in Ramadan, it is the man who's supposed to be short-tempered. My wife, total opposite, Ustaz. So do I stay far away from her? She becomes very, very dangerous, Ustaz. Anonymous.
Yes, you must remember, you should just go into another room and you play with the children, use your time for the leisure time, for the pleasure of Allah, reading Quran, reading some good kitab and so forth, reading your salat on time and all that. So you stay out of your wife's path, because remember that she's getting frustrated because you're there 24 hours out of 24. So it's good, go do outside some garden and all that also. It will keep you fit also, brother, inshallah.
Subhanallah. What is the youngest age I can get my daughter married? She's only 14, Ustad. Anonymous sister.
Remember, in this day and this age, that I would not advise you to get your daughter married when she is 14, 15, all that. Because our women today, we have the proper term in our vernacular, Mehman, Surti, Gujarati, Urdu, all that. And that is Bahut Nadan hai. Because if the husband just make big eyes and shout them, their huzu will break. So remember that they will be terrified, because our daughters, 80%, 90% were brought up in a lap of luxury. Yes, she's mature. She's experiencing her menses and so forth. But she's not mentally mature. She doesn't know how to run a home. She doesn't know how to look after her husband. She doesn't know how to cook, all that. I'm speaking generally, 90% of the ladies of that age there. So therefore, I would not advise you just to get your daughter married at the age of 14 and so forth. After 17, 18, 19, so forth, then it's much better, because now they are mentally mature as well.
Who said that? Can I give my wife zakat?
No, you can't give your wife zakat. You can't give your children zakat. You can't give your parents zakat. You can't give your wife zakat. The wife can't give the husband zakat. So remember, it must be besides them. So then you can give. You can give brothers, sisters, aunties, uncles, nephews, nieces. So all those people. But these people who are adopted and so forth, you must remember, you can give them zakat. But remember that in these cases, you must be very careful that a person must be a Muslim. Many people just become Muslim for the month of Ramadan, Allah forbid.
Ustad, what happens now? Tonight will be the 27th night of Ramadan, right? So the sister wants to know, Ustad, because of course, I think i'tikaf started already. So she says here, my mom wants to sit in the i'tikaf now. Please speak a little on it. Is it jais can or not, Ustad?
Yes, you must remember, she wants to sit for nafil i'tikaf, so it's good. Mustafa rahmatulil alameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, man qama laylatul qadri imanan wa ihtisaba, who engages themselves on the night of majesty, destiny, tonight, so with iman internally and expecting the maximum reward, ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbi, the previous sins will be forgiven, the hadith in Mishkat Sharif, Mustad Ahmad, various compilations. So you may intention, you're going to sit for 5 hours, 6 hours, 10 hours, whatever. So that is nafil etikaf, so it is permissible. Even 1-2 hours is fine. And if you sit more, it's permissible. And if you sit less, you sit 3 hours, but you sit 1 hour, 2 hours, and then you went away. So that also is permissible, because it's nafil etikaf. So all these intentions are flexible and acceptable.
Usa, the sister says here about the 14-year-old daughter. She says that her daughter knows how to cook. She's very, very mature. She's very, very baligh. Ustad, what's your thought on that still for marriage?
No. Still, I don't know, but maybe if you all are happy, but if you're asking me, because I look at what happens to majority of the cases, so they're very, very nadan and so forth. So, but it's up to you, it's your daughter, you all can make istikhara, but I don't approve of it and encourage this type of things there. That 13-year-old and 14-year-old and 15-year-old get married, because most of the time when they're 16, 18, they're back home, and then they come with a baby, and there's so many complications then. So majority of the time, that's why I emphasize the one word, nowadays. So you must remember this type of things here, that you're going to get them married at the age of 14, where she will stay. She will stay with the in-laws, she will stay separate. All these are big, big issues you need to work out from now.
Mm. Ustad, you speaking about that, we go to four ways. Anonymous mother, it says, a concerned mother. Muftisab, you truly right. My daughter got married at the age of 17 and she only lasted 6 months. Her in-law says that she was very nadan. So now my daughter, was sitting in Ida to start.
See? Yes, that's what I'm telling you. I mean, now we're in this field for 40 years with Allah's help, you know. So 20 years teaching and 20 years in media with Allah's help. So you get some experience at least, you know. So therefore, I'm giving you, Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-Mustasharu mu'tamanun. You're making mashura with me, so I'm not passing fatwa. Fatwa is you happy, the daughter is happy, that is fatwa. But we don't only give fatwa, we give what ifta, we give irshad also. So we give advice. So therefore, that is my advice. And Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Al-Mustasharu mu'tamanun. The person you're making mashura with, he should be honest. I'm just trying to be your honest brother, your honest uncle, your honest son, whatever you want to call me, it's fine. So that if it's my daughter or my sister's daughter or brother's daughter, I'll tell them no. That they still wet behind the ears and this type of things. They can't even make. I normally joke with my nieces and them when they're that age. I say, make some musa. And make a proper samosa, not square samosas. So they can't even make a triangle samosa properly. So you must re-angle this type of things here. So, but now, mashallah, I was speaking of long time ago, now they're all married and got children. Now they're making proper samosas. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Sister says, marriage comes with its shares of downhill to start. So the brother says, my wife now sits on WhatsApp. To na mahram males. How do I bring the spice back in our life? Ustad?
You must remember, take the phone away and get her the Nokia phone. The haram that you must remember, you know the old Nokia ones. That one don't have WhatsApp and all these type of things. So your wife can't demand she must have a WhatsApp phone and all. Just take it away. But then she must not be involved with strange woman, or strange men rather. You must not be involved with strange woman. So you need transparency in your marriage. Leave your phone, she can go through it. She leave her phone and you go through it. So in that way there, the marriage will blossom. When you play all this, you know, clandestine activities, the cloak and dagger activities, meaning that you start hiding and so forth, so then the marriage will go downhill. Because remember Mustafa, Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that call Allah azza wa jal, then Almighty Allah jalla wa ala said, Ana thalithu sharikain. I am the third party between two partners. See the beautiful hadith. But wa'idha khan, but one of them you must remember, I am the one. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Allah ta'ala says, ana thaliku sharikain. That as long as they don't make khiyanat, you must remember that. Once one of them make khiyanat, they commit breach of trust, then Allah ta'ala's mercy is gone. Remember, the barakat is gone. So the trust has to be there, the honesty has to be there.
Ustad, this is anonymous. I don't know if Ustad can maybe help me here. He says, Muftisab, he is working and now the boss's wife wants him to have a relationship with her, to sleep with her. He's also close to husband and afraid if they get caught, he might lose his job. Please advise Ustad.
You must remember the hadith I quoted just now. Ana thalithu sharikain ma lam yakun ahadu wa ma lal akhar. As long as the one partner is not making khiyanat, is not being dishonest. So this is what happens. You must remember that the husband and wife are there. Then now the employer comes and he's an active guy, too active. So now the boss tells him, do this, do this. He starts becoming friendly with the boss's wife. Now the boss's wife says, says that, no, you can come here and I'll fulfill your needs. And obviously, you know what you are doing is haram. For the boss's wife, there is death penalty for adultery. You, brother, you're not married, it seems. For you, is 100 lashes in public, Surah 24, verse 2. So all this, garakachor, you are becoming. So the man gave you a job, now you go sleep with his wife, Allah forbid, and all this type of things here. So you must be, and now you tell me you're worried about your job. So remember that you must worry about the vices you're committing and so forth. So best thing, brother, for you, if you got taqwa, piety, rather just resign from there. And remember, you say, Ya Allah, you said, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلَّهُ مَخْرَجًا. Whoever has taqwa, piety, then Allah will make a way out for him. You say, but what about my wages? What about my service? Allah says, وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. Allah will give you such risk and sustenance, some avenues you never expected. Open Surah 65, Surah Talaq, verses 3, 4. You will find those verses there. For you to stay there, brother, very, very dangerous. First, that wife is telling you to do this. Second one, that boss is trusting you, and you will lose both sides. And remember, you'll be disgraced, and Allah forbid that Allah's punishment also. So therefore, my advice to you, that unless you cut off all ties with the wife and so forth, and in that way there, remember, but to me that is very difficult. None of us are Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam, remember that. So best thing for you is just to leave the job and go get work somewhere else.
So is that for fitra? Can you give it to the deceased? Is that fitra?
So you must remember that you can't give fitra on behalf of the deceased. So remember that your father, brother, son, daughter passed away. So now you say you want to give fitra for them, not permissible. So when you want to spend for them, you call it isali thawab. You give out and it is charity on their behalf. So whether you gave it out for clothes, whether you gave it out for a borehole, whatever. So that is isali thawab, that you use your money. You can't say you're giving this 30 rand, 170 rand as fitra, sadaqatul fitr for the deceased. There's no sadaqatul fitr on them. How there's no aqiqah for them after they died. Though likewise, there is no sadaqatul fitr for them and so forth. So that is for people who are alive, not people who are deceased. So it will be considered as isali thawab.
Ustad, my family is non-Muslim. I'm the only one who is Muslim, Ustad. And old in the family. Sometimes they need me to do cultural things. What must I do? Because I must respect my mother, Ustad.
Almighty Allah Jalla Wala addresses this very issue in a noble Quran, Surah 31, Surah Luqman, verse 15. وَصَاحِبُهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. Treat your parents. You are Muslim and your parents are non-Muslim, or one of them is non-Muslim, then treat them with love, with equity and justice. They are your parents. But show them the beauty of Islam. If the mother, father, non-Muslim say, go get wine, swine, something like that, you must say, no, it's impossible. I'm a Muslim. So always try and cry to Allah tonight, especially that cry to Almighty Allah, Ya Allah, save my parents from Jahannam, the hellfire, give them Iman, Islam. Second one, that remember when you go and buy things and so forth, so whatever, so in that way, make sure everything is halal and so forth. Not anything that's haram, remember that. So your mother got a place, your father got a place, but that does not justify the haram they are doing or what they expect you to do as a son. So because you must remember, then you will be responsible.
Ustad, it says here that I feed my wife every day by hand, yet she bites my fingers, Ustad. I know we are insan. How long should we continue to forgive, Ustad?
Yes, yeah, so you tell her that now you will feed her with a spoon a little bit, you understand? Because now she's very hungry. So she was fasting the whole day. So now she wants to take your ulta finger and everything. So in that way, put one, two morsels in the spoon and feed her, finish. That way the sunnah will be fulfilled. And then you eat in your plate and she eats in her plate. So there's no fighting there and all that. A hungry lady is an angry lady also.
Well, fair enough, Ustad. 25 after 11, Anonymous says, Mufti Saab, I was molested as a child. Is it compulsory to tell my future spouse about this, Ustad?
It depends what you mean by molested. One is that the uncle or your brother or somebody just touched you, you know, there by your back or front or whatever and so forth. One is Allah forbid, they went further than that. Then obviously in that case there your husband will fall suspicious and so forth. So you must use your discretion whether you have to tell him or not. And then he will ask who did it, when it happened, how many times it happened. The many things will come out. So obviously as far as possible, if you can hide it, you hide it and conceal it. But if it has to be so told, then you'll have to tell him. So remember, this is another big problem we have in our society, and that is that you find brothers molesting his sister, or uncle molesting his own niece, or words like that. Mm-hmm. So remember, very, very dangerous it is. So all these activities are haram, and we need to be careful about it.
So sir, if the wife has more wealth than the husband, does it create jealousy from the husband? What can we do about it to start?
First and foremost, that the husband should ask himself, why did he marry this lady? If he married her for her wealth, and that was the main criteria, the hadith is mentioned in Musnad Ahmad, Mustafa, Rahmatulil Alameen, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَإِنَّمَا أَذَلَّهُ اللَّهُ. Allah will disgrace this husband. And you can see today that people have the best house, the best car, best furniture, best carpets, everything. But if you ask the husband, what belongs to you? He said, no, nothing. Everything in my wife's name. So you see the disgrace. Because you didn't offer anything, you didn't spend for anything, and your wife, mashallah, she got a very, you know, exclusive taste as well. And she will tell you, keep quiet, you're not paying for it. We're paying for it. My father is paying for it. So all this brings about a big problem for the husband. So therefore, that you, the husband, read Surah 25, verse 74. Rabbana hablana min azwajina. Oh Almighty Allah, Jalla Wala, grant us such spouses and remember such children that are the coolness of the eyes. That is the best dua.
He says, Mufti AK, I am a female. I have heard a lot of men who seem to have good akhlaq and character. I spoke to my parents so that they can send a word for me, but they are disgusted by me. They say, how can a woman propose for a man, and that I am bringing shame to the family, and that I should wait for a proposal and not be so forward? Am I being immodest to start, anonymous sister?
That is our tradition and custom, our riwaj. Our Indian riwaj is such that custom tradition that if the proposal comes from the girl's family, it's like you are cheapening yourself. Mm. In Islam, that is no place. If you study the noble Quran, Surah 28, you must show your parents that when in a good mood, Surah chapter 28, verses 24, 25, 26, 27. Nabi Musa alayhi salatu salam left Egypt, came to Madinah. He made dua, Surah 28, verse 24, Rabbi inni lima anzalta ilayya min khayrin faqir. Ya Allah, I'm here in the strange foreign land. Whatever goodness you're sending down, I'm muhtaj of it. Lo and behold, Almighty Allah made arrangements for him. So you must remember in different ways. He went to Nabi Shu'aib alayhi salam's house. Then Nabi Shu'aib alayhi salatu salam told him that my daughter spoke so highly about you, you assisted them by the water. So now, inni uridu an unkihaka ihdamnatiya hatin. I want, the girl's father said, I want one of you, that you marry one of my two daughters, choose one of them and you get married. So imagine the proposal came from who? From a Nabi, from the girl's side, not the father's side. So you must remember the boy's side, it came from the girl's side. So it shows totally permissible. That you see Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you understand, marrying Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha. So there also, that Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married Sayyida Khadija because she sent the message that I am very happy in marrying you, O Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because of your piety, your sublime character and so forth. So it shows in Islam that is totally permissible and there's nothing to feel upset about it. People get upset because you must remember that in a case like that, they feel that they are cheapening their family rank and status. So these are all the Indian custom which has no place in Islam.
A sister in UK says, dear AK, when your kids get married, decide in advance that you are going to be the most drama free, loving and supportive mother, father-in-law on the planet. You will have tremendous power to either make your kids' marriages feel blessed or feel stressed. Ustad.
Yes, 100%. You must remember that parents must always give guidelines to their children. Surah 66, verse 6. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu qu anfusakum ahlikum nara. And remember that the parents now, when they become grandparents, now second round, so then they may become people who are melting. Mm-hmm. Because now with their children, sometimes they were very, very hard and so forth. But when the time comes, grandchildren, then you find that the parents, grandparents also start melting, and the children are melting because now so many bounties, favors coming in. So all this is what we need to do, is give and take situation. Not you just keep on giving, not you suffer. You know, carry on with just taking, but it must be give and take situation. Then we will say it's good. Otherwise, you must remember that it becomes a very stale situation. So that is what in life you will have to remember.
Listen to this question, Ustad. The little girl says, dear Mufti Saab, I am 16 years old. Until now, my dad doesn't know that my mom, she's having an affair. She's busy chatting to another strange male. So by me seeing my mommy doing this, I also can do that, Ustad. 16 years old, Ustad.
Obviously, it's haram for you, it's haram for your mother, so you should send an anonymous note and tell your father that today you don't have to write it. You know you can do it in so many ways, that you should inform your father that you know that mommy is doing, don't take mommy's name, just say, don't say your mommy, just say that this lady is doing this and all these kind of things, and she's having a cyber affair. Nowadays, they don't call it affair, they call it a cyber affair, via the, you know, internet and via the WhatsApp and via the email. And so whether it is a land affair or whether it is cyber affair or whether it is an affair in the plane or whenever, all these are haram. Quran Kareem mentioned it both ways. وَلَا مُتَّخِذِينَ أَخْدَانَ وَلَا مُتَّخِذَاتِ أَخْدَانَ. That for you, the men, to have the mistress and, you know, private wives and all that, all haram, all that. Nobody even knows. The girl's father never gave permission. So all that totally unacceptable. And wala muttakhidin akhdan. And for you, the men as well, that you have, you know, ladies and so forth. So both ways, you can't have sugar daddies and you can't have toy boys and joy boys and mistress. All this totally haram.
Asiba says, Mufti Saab, you must also advise the parents. They are wrong. They are at fault as well, Ustad.
100%. That's what I'm saying, that the parents are 100% wrong. So therefore, we're saying that you must address the father so he must know that what his wife is doing. Look at now Masoom daughter saying that the mother is doing all this, so now it's opening the law, the doors of fitna more and more for the daughter as well. So that's very, very sad. And maybe in Ramadan is going on, Allah forbid. So imagine how little iman we have in Ramadan, this type of thing, shaitan yet goes on. Allah protect us all.
27 minutes to 12, we're going inshallah for an interval. When we come back, my beloved, beautiful, warm-hearted listeners of Markaz Sahaba and listeners of Sirius FM, don't go away, stay tuned.
WhatsApp us on 084-786-3132.
24 minutes to 12. It's a beautiful, mashallah, Wednesday morning on our program, The Bliss of Marriage. Yes, part two every Wednesdays. My beloved, beautiful listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And of course, we welcome the listeners of Sirius FM, Haji Faisal Asmal and the company. Our WhatsApp number is 084-786-3132. That's our WhatsApp number, 084-786-3132. International overseas listeners, +27 84 786 3132. Ustaz, there's a very, very interesting question here. So one is, how do we perform the Eid Salah? This is for Shafi'is. And the other one says, Ustaz, how do we know that a Shia is standing next to us when he's performing the Eid Namaz? How do they perform the Eid Namaz, the Shias? Ustaz.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Before I respond to those queries, let me just make 3-4 announcements. Number one, inshallah, inshallah al-Aziz, that today between 1:05 and 1:30, we will have our last tafsir for this Quran Sharif, inshallah. With Allah's help and mercy, is the third time that we are completing the Quran Sharif. So the ending of Surah Nas on 1, from 1:05, 6:01, one, inshallah, to 1:30. So inshallah, you can listen to Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, or you can listen to Radio Al Ansar. And inshallah, that same program will be repeated tonight between 6:30 and 7 also, inshallah. And my brother Tobela will make a podcast of that and the bliss of marriage. And in the afternoon, we will send it out, inshallah. So that's one. Two is this tonight, inshallah, 10 to 11, between 10 at night to 11. First, Mawlana Salim Kareem, Hafizahullah, will address you for 20 minutes or so. So remember till about 20 past, 25 past, and then I'll come in, and inshallah, we'll address you, and then we'll make a dua, inshallah. So Allah Jalla Wala accept it. Third one is this, that remember tonight is 27 night. All of us, oh esteemed listeners of Sirius FM and of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wa Jama'ah, we want our Ramadan 1441. We know it was difficult circumstances. The masajid are closed. The Eidgahs also, Allah knows best, but it seems to be closed. So a lot of issues. But whatever little bit we did, we want Allah to accept it. So in a case like that, make sure that where we have not made, you know, instead of breaking the bridges, let us may build the bridges. So in a case like that, what we should do is this, that a person, whoever you are not speaking to, you sever ties with your mother-in-law, you sever ties with your brother or sister, you sever ties, you told them, I'm not going to speak to you. So today, during the day, you contact them, remember that, and you ask them for forgiveness for the sake and love of Almighty Allah. That will be the prerequisite for our actions to be accepted. Remember that. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Utrukhuma. Allah Jalla wala addresses the malaika that leave A, B, C and X, Y, Z with all their good actions in abeyance one side. Hatta yastaliha, till they reconcile. So it shows reconcile doesn't mean we must become the best friends. We just say assalamu alaikum. Unless that person is a murtad and out of the fold of Islam is a different issue. But normal cases, so please, that is important as well. And last one, inshallah, now the days are going, remember, so tonight is 27 night, inshallah, Sunday will be Eid, if the moon and the crescent is sighted for Shawwal, so that we will see Saturday night, we will have a special program, inshallah, Mawlana Arafat will be here, Brother Yusuf Ali will be here, I'll come in also, inshallah. So please, brothers, sisters, I beg you now, this Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday is the last lap. So stay away from all the haram things and use our time constructively and productively. Whatever is going to happen, happens with a decree of Almighty Allah. So that is our yakin and our conviction. Okay, people are asking about Eid Salat and so forth. How do you perform Eid Salat? So three things here. Number one, the Shafi'is, the Malikis, the Hanbalis, you must remember their method is slightly different and the Hanafi's method is different. So let's explain to you majority scholars. So Eid Salat is read first and then the khutbah. Not like Jummah. Jummah time, the khutbah, the Arabic sermon, the two sermons are first before the Salat. So Eid day, today is Eid for example. So it's 15 minutes after sunrise, 7 o'clock, upper 7, 8, 9, 10 o'clock. So now we're performing Eid Salat. I follow the Shafi'i school or Maliki, Hanbali school. I'm the Imam, for example. Allahu Akbar. So that's the first takbir, right? Thereafter, I will raise my hands 7 times. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. So total, I raise my hands 8 times because the first one was takbir at tahrima. So that is how you will perform according to Shafi'is, Maliki's, Hanbali's. Why? Walitukabbirullaha ala ma hadakum. You glorify Allah more and more on Eid day. And zayyinu a'yadakum bit takbir. And beautify your Eid with takbir. Then Surah Fatiha, Surah Ruku, Sajda, all. Second rakat. Again, before the Surah Fatiha and Surah, 5 times. So how many extra takbir? 12. So Allahu Akbar, Allah, I raise my hand like that. So that is Shafi'i, Maliki, Hanbali way. Hanafi way is this. Now I am the Imam and I follow the Hanafi school. Allahu Akbar, then Sana, Subhanakallahumma. You keep your hands fastened. Then three extra takbir. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. So when this extra three, the first time I pick up my hand on the side. Second time, hand on the side. Third time, so now you fasten your hand. So first takbir, you fasten your hand, and the fourth one, you will fasten your hand. Okay? The third extra one then. Surah Fatiha, Surah. Then Ruku, Sajda is normal. You stand up, everything after two Sajda, Surah Fatiha, Surah. Then before you go into Ruku, three extra takbir. So Shafi'i, Maliki, Hanbali, in both rakats, the extra takbir, 7 and 5, are before the Surah Fatiha. Hanafis, it is before the Surah Fatiha in the first rakat, and in the second rakat, after the Surah Fatiha, and Surah, the Qirat, before you go into Ruku, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, you raise your hands, and fourth time, Allahu Akbar, you go into Ruku. So we gave you both ways now, and yesterday I sent it out also according to the Hanafis. Thereafter, the Khutbah. So remember, Shafi, Hanafi, Maliki, Hanbali, everybody, the Hadith is mentioned in Musannaf Abdul Razak. People never heard this Hadith Kitab's name, but these are all existing Kitabs. So in Musannaf Ibn Abdul Razak, you must remember, and that's a Sunnah, that I'm the person delivering the Eid Khutbah. So in the starting, 9 times, Maulana, I think you're performing Eid Salat somewhere, Jesus, remember, 9 times, first, in the first Khutbah.
Uh-huh.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, like that, you say 9 times. In the second Khutbah, 7 times, okay, that's in the beginning. And then you read your khutbah and so forth. So and thereafter, in between, you read takbir. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, walillahi alhamd. And then you add with that. Allahu Akbar kabira, walhamdulillahi kathira, wa subhanallahi bukratan wa asila. So our aim must be to glorify and sing the praises. Sing don't mean sing like a music. So to praise, to recite the praises of Almighty Allah Jalla wa'ala. So there. Second khutbah, same thing. 7 times you praise Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar, and then the khutbah. There you add Durood Sharif, you take the name of the Khulafai Rashideen, and then you make dua for the Ummah. That is the time for dua in the khutbah. If you want to make dua, then you make the dua after Salat and before the khutbah, so that's also fine. And then you make dua and dua. And then when you're going to meet many people, first time you're seeing them because some people come from far and wide, you say, Taqabbal Allahu minna wa minkum. The hadith is mentioned, remember, Sahaba used to do so. In Fathul Bari, the commentary of, you understand, Bukhari Sharif by Ibn Hajar Asqalani Rahimahullah. And in Sunanul Bayhaqi is mentioned, even Nabi alayhi salam said, Taqabbal Allah minna wa minkum. But a lot of discussion regarding that hadith and so forth. But anyway, it is a sunnah on Eid day. Last point, remember that for the Shafis and them, you 2, 3, 4, all is acceptable for the men. And Hanafis, you have 4 men, so that is the fatwa we give. And remember that we say that 4 men, you must be mature and sane, and then you perform your Eid salah. So all these fatwas that are flying around nowadays, that Maulana gave from South Africa, from India, Pakistan, according to Hanafis, you can't read, we reject all that. You must remember, whether you Shafi, Hanafi, Maliki, Hanbali, you read your Eid Salat. Whether in your garden, whether in your outbuilding, whether in your house, all that is totally permissible.
So Ustaz, for the Shias, Ustaz?
The second one is about the Shia. Shias are non-Muslim. Remember that. There's no question about that. People swearing, Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar, Sayyidina Usman, Sayyidina Aisha, Sayyidina Hafsa, Amir Muawiyah, 100% they're out of the fold of Islam. See, I give you one jewel of tafsir. Understand this here. So Almighty Allah Jalla Wala told us, you understand? So about Sahaba, radiallahu ta'ala anhum, right? So it was told to them, to the munafiqeen of that time. Today also, you must remember, too many munafiqeen, you know, in our midst and so forth. So it was told to them, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ لَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ قَالُوا إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ مُسْلِحُونَ. So when it was told to them, don't commit mischief on the earth, they said, no, we are the peacemakers and we're doing good. Right. So Almighty Allah says in Surah 2, verse number 13, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ, hence is told to them the munafiqeen, آمِنُوا, bring iman, كَمَا آمَنَ النَّاسِ, like how the people, they brought iman. The people are who? Sahaba. So bring iman like the Sahaba brought iman. What did they say, the munafiqeen? Kalu anu'minu kama amana sufaha. What do you mean? That they're telling Allah Ta'ala that we must bring iman like the fools. They call Sahaba fools. Allah forbid, Allah forbid. So Allah says, defending the Sahaba, Allah innahum humus sufaha'u walakin la ya'lamun. They are the biggest idiots and fools, but they know not. Surah number 2, verse number 13. So anybody makes wild claims against and accusations against Sahaba. So according to the light of this ayat, Surah 2 verse 13, the same words will go against you. When the Shia, la'anahumullah, Allah's curse be upon them, they say, Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar, Sayyidina Usman, Sayyidina Aisha, Sayyidina Hafsa, Amir Muawiyah, kuffar, then they are 100% kuffar. Who are 100% the Shia? And Sahabas are flying. You must remember, Nubahul Kilab La Yadudu Sahab. The dogs barking on the road. What did it harms the clouds? Nothing. So you must remember this type of thing. So Shias, now, if you know he's a Shia, you tell him you're not welcome here, go out. You got all the right to kick him out. So in our masjids and so forth. Second one, you don't know, then it's a different issue. So you must remember that we must make it clear. In our masajid, no Qadianis, no Shias, no Aga Khanis, no one allowed. They are non-Muslim and they're mischief makers. So that is our stance, without fear, without favor, without apology.
So Ustad, are some of them kafir or all of them kafir, Ustad?
90% of them in this day and this age, ignorance is no more an excuse, because they have all their books, you must remember, in public. And you must remember, when Ramadan comes, they have big, big parties. They make a cake. On the cake is written, Aisha Finnar, Aisha Finnar, Allah forbid. I sent it out the other day, and they're saying that Sayyida Aisha, our honorable mother, is in Jahannam. They're clapping hands and dancing and all that. And they say, what words? We can't even use it, Allah forbid. So how can such people ever be Muslim, remember? Totally out of the fold of Islam. Khomeini, the non-Muslim states, they gave me all these books. So you must remember, you make muta for 1 hour. So ask them, their daughters available for 1 hour. So you must remember that prostitution they promote. Till today, no Shia can answer that. So you Shias, you're promoting prostitution, and it's written in your own book. Khomeini wrote it in Tawdihul Masail. So what you talk? Yes, you have a religion, but that religion is not Islam. It's a cursed religion, and you always are treacherous. You always work against the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Even today, you are cutting deals with America and Israel and everybody. That is what they do. You must remember that.
Allahu Akbar, Subhanallah. I see Karisab says here, Mutsab, did they not harm you when you went to Iran, Ustad?
Nobody harm us. Alhamdulillah. Allah's help is with us, brother. Don't worry. We defeated them in Iran. With the debate we had there, we defeated them. Alhamdulillah.
Subhanallah. Allahu Akbar. Ustad, if I ask for maaf to my sister-in-law, she says that I don't mean it, Ustad.
You must remember that if somebody, very good question, somebody comes to you or sends you a message, because nowadays it's tech age, you know, just press the button and 1,000 people, 1,000,000 people get the message also. So anyway, so now she contacted you by phone or by WhatsApp or SMS or email or whatever. So you said, no, but you're not genuine. You understood? See, ABC person took the initiative and they asked you for forgiveness, and now you told him, go fly the kite. So you know what the ramifications, consequences will be of that. Tomorrow, you must remember that. That person will come to Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by Hawza Kawthar. And then the Master alayhi salam will tell him, go from here, suhqan suhqa, go from here. So open targhib or targhib. You will find this hadith very similar, the words are. So why my ummati came to you, contacted you, asked you for forgiveness, and you said, go fly a kite. So today you will be deprived of the water that I, Rahmatul Alameen, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, is giving. To this morning, the advice I gave, who are the true believers? Alladhina yuqimuna as-salat wa yu'tuna az-zakat wa hum raki'un. Raki'un means that they are humble in the sense they have the quality of empathy and sympathy. So if somebody came and really they asked for forgiveness, so fine, forgive that person there, because Allah will forgive us. We all make sins, we all commit sins, we all make mistakes and this type of things. But you will say, but that person is not sincere, he does. You see, that is our pride that becomes an obstacle, an impediment. So now we don't want to forgive that person. When somebody tells you, fear Allah, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُ اتَّقِ اللَّهِ, so fear Allah. So what happens? أَخَذَتْهُ الْعِزَّةُ بِالْإِسْمِ. So the pride of that person then now mobilizes him, galvanizes him, go, commit more sin, فَحَسْبُهُ جَهَنَّمْ, then he lands up in Jahannam. So that pride of ours becomes the obstacle. Remove that, and then you can, inshallah, embrace one another, brother to brother, sister to sister. Not you go embrace your brother's wife and all that. So you must remember, but learn to forgive. That's a great quality. See one English sentence.
Mm-hmm.
We play with a little bit words. If you don't forgive people, your life will be a bitter life. A better life. And if you learn to forgive people, then you will lead a better life.
Allah.
So it's your choice, O Muslim or Muslima, you want to make your life better or you want to make your life better. That is your choice. But I am telling you what Islam is telling us, and you have no choice. Rather forgive and say, Allah will forgive me. So that is the best thing. And more so, now when Laylatul Qadr is coming, so what good is there? We crying, we begging, we beseeching Allah. But you, my daughter-in-law, you told your mother-in-law, you and your father, mother, also all go to hell. You know, when these women go crazy, what they speak and this type of thing. They'll put everybody in Jahannam, Allah forbid. So before the day starts, the night starts, ask for forgiveness. So that's what I'm appealing to you.
Hasima says, Adrian says, you sound like an English teacher, Ustad.
Yes, you must remember, I was a teacher for 20 years. We're still teaching, mashallah. So sister is a big problem, Mrs. Adrian. In Urdu, I don't think you know Urdu, my sister. But I'll mention to you in English how you use it.
Mm-hmm.
In Urdu we say, ghar ko aag lag gayi ghar ki chiraag se. You know, you live in South Africa, I live in South Africa. Yes, we're in different provinces. You in KwaZulu-Natal, I'm in Gauteng. But we're all in the same country, my sister. So outside we put the best security guards, the best alarm system, the best burglar guards, but we left the fire burning inside the house. So what will happen then? Allah forbid. So you know, sister, what you call that in English? The Trojan horse. So we have to solve the Trojan horse. Remember that. The problem is not outside, the problem is inside. So that is what we have to do. So jiska zarf bara ho, Allah inko bara bana deta hai. Keep a magnanimous heart and Allah will elevate your rank and status.
Subhanallah. Ustaz, can I sit in i'tikaf only for tonight with my husband's permission until sehri? Is it permissible from after iftar till sehri tomorrow, Ustaz?
Yes, very good. Do so. Nafil i'tikaf it is. But if your husband tells you 12 o'clock at night, can make a cup of tea for me or do the, you can't say, hey, me, I'm sitting for i'tikaf. Nafil i'tikaf is all flexible. After 2-3 hours, you get tired. Husband is calling. This one is calling. So you go. No problem. All is permissible. But butter up the husband nicely and then tell him, Habi, you sleep and I'll make ibadat. Then I'll wake you up early today for sehri and suhoor. Then you make ibadat, inshallah, also. So saying that way, they give and take. You know, that's marriage, marital life, inshallah.
I see New Zealand, Sister Amelia says, could you please repeat that? Butter and better, something that you said to start.
Sister Amelia, our Edward's wife, When you forgive my sister, you become a better person. Mm. And when you don't forgive, then you lead a better life. So it's your choice. Either you want to make your life better, or either you want to make your life better. So we say, always make your life better. And that is by forgiving. You see, our Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. So now what happened? That these are the people, they tortured them, persecuted them, boycotted them for 3 years. All that happened, but Allah wants to show a lesson to humanity and posterity. After the migration from Makkah to Medina, 8th year came, the Master alayhi salam came with 10,000 of his students and companions. Now the people of Makkah, the idol worshippers, they're wondering that now we are losing everything. We're losing the custodianship, we're losing the trusteeship, we're losing everything. What's going to happen? We at the mercy of Rahmatul Lil Alameen sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the mercy to every creation and the entire universe, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. So he told them, see, I am telling you today, Kultu lakum kama qala Yusuf liqwatihi. I am telling you what Prophet Joseph, Yusuf, peace be upon him, alayhi salatu salam, said to his brothers, La tathrib alaykum al-yawm. There is no blame upon you today. That is what you call a great person, when you have the power to take and punish the people, but you say, go, I give you amnesty, I give you asylum, I forgive you. That was my sister Amelia, the turning point in Islam. And then you saw, يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجَ, that they entered into Islam in their droves and droves. Eventually, the whole Arab Peninsula entered into Islam. Open chapter 110 and see verses 1 and 2. And that will give you an idea. Chapter 110 and verses 1-2. And sister, don't forget, today our time, South African time, just 1 hour and about 10 minutes from now approximately, we will have our final lesson for the tafsir, commentary of the Noble Quran. And that is, we completing inshallah with Allah's command, the Quran. So the 114 chapters, 6236 verses. So we did it deliberately so that tonight, night, it is 27 night, we cry, we beg, we beseech Allah. So Allah give you also the true guidance and the true path, sister. And Edward as well, and Walter, and Michael, and everybody, and so Mrs. Adrian, and everybody. Our message is very transparent. We say Islam for all, and all for Islam. Islam is not what you see on your movie screen, on your TV screen. That is 90% fake news. They want you to hate Islam, but you're hearing our message. So you see, there's nothing for us to hide. We're telling you, ask whatever you want, and we will answer your questions with the help and mercy of Allah.
Ustad, a final question. Sister Samira wants to know from Umslanga. She says, since you're talking about forgive, so do we forgive for what they were doing to our beloved sister, Sister Afia Siddiqa, Ustad, in Guantanamo Bay?
You must remember, forgiveness does not mean that we turn a blind eye. Everyone who tortured her, everyone who persecuted her, you see, somebody, I give you an easy example, sister, from Noor. You know Noor? Umslanga rocks. Everywhere the number plates are Noor, N-U-R there. So I call them Noor. So you from Noor, right? So Umslanga rocks there. Natal, Umslanga rock, that's why. So you from that part of the world. Somebody come, please forgive me. But I know that this chap was working for me, and he stole and he did this. I said, see, I'll forgive you. But tell me the story, how much you stole from me. So you have all the right, whether it's Dr. Afia, my sister, or whether it's anybody else, that before I forgive you, tell me how this whole thing happened. We want to know who are the people who are guilty. And then there is a thing called justice. So justice is different than forgiveness is different. That is her prerogative. If she wants to forgive them, she can forgive them. But if you ask me, I will say no. Each one of them must be brought to justice. You must remember, whether it's the Pakistanis who sold out, whether it's the Afghanis who sold out, whether it's the American torturers and so forth. Everybody must be exposed. And then we talk about forgiveness. Same thing with the criminal and the apartheid regime of Israel. Tomorrow, in the future, when the Palestinians, that was a big mistake the government of South Africa made. Even Mandela made this mistake. You must remember, he said, I forgive. Fine, you forgive, but what you did then? So our people, the African people, that is why you must remember, there's a big mess now. So you must expose these people first. They walked away with amnesty. So the truth and root reconciliation, that was not very good. So you must. So Mandela was good as a reconciler. But what happened after that, the whites took undue advantage of it. I mean, let us be honest about these issues here. Mm. So you must remember. So forgive is very good. But first you must expose the people who perpetrated all these crimes. And then you speak of forgiveness. Otherwise, they're going to just carry on like that. So if you tell me if I'm Afia's brother, I'll say, yes, my sister, that's her prerogative. She'll forgive you if she wants. But you're asking me, no. Every one of you on the chain who committed the crimes, we have to expose the whole lot of you first. That is what we must do.
I love you, Ustad. I love you, Ustad.